Joining me is former Hereford United midfielder John Narbitt. John, you were the record signing for Hereford at the time when you joined from Shrewsbury. Did that put you under any more pressure when you arrived at Edgar Street?
To be honest, no, because at the time I was at Shrewsbury, like you say, sold the old First Divisional Championship. I'd been playing and I was just desperate to play. I was just desperate. I had a taste of first team football, playing first team at 18 years old. New manager had come to Shrewsbury, and I just wanted to play. So I came on loan first of all, and done fairly well. And so by the time that the figures were being talked about, I'd already settled into the team. I'd already been there for a couple of months while they were trying to negotiate it. So to be honest, it didn't really worry me at all, because it was just like I said, I'd already settled in. I'd got on well, had friends, and the crowd had already been pretty good.
Are there any games that stick out in the memory?
A couple. In fact, better since I've been watching you, post some of these games. But yeah, an early one was against Halifax, where I scored a couple of goals. And I remember, there was a penalty incident, and I remember Phil Stans, who at the time was, he was gunning for, he was top scorer in the division that year. And I remember Stans, he offered me the ball from a hat trick. And in hindsight, although I kind of got a reputation as a penalty taker in my later years, I bottled it a bit, if I'm honest. I said, "No, Stancy, I said, you take it, I'll get my own." But obviously, that was a chance to get my first hat trick. But he was top man in offering me, but of course, he put the ball away. But that game definitely stands out.
You had a really good record scoring penalties. What was your technique?
It was funny, actually, because I in the US at the moment, there's a documentary on Manchester City, and I was listening to their strategies on penalties, and mine was simple. I ended up taking them just because I got fed up of being brought down for penalties and thinking, you know what? And I added all the penalties up one season before I started taking them, and I added it all up, and I thought, I've been brought down about 10 times, and I thought, just like with the Stanty offer, I thought I could take these, and I could score 10 goals. So to start that season, I think Richard Jones had missed one, so I said no. For the first time, I volunteered to take them, but it was, this is how I looked at it. I thought, a penalty is a one-off on the day. I didn't practice penalties. And I still believe, I don't know how you can practice penalties, because you can't recreate the pressure. You can't recreate, whether it's the 19th minute of the game, the fans jeering, doing whatever. So I did practice them, because I thought, well, if I miss, it's going to knock my confidence. And if I score in the practice, so even the jokes, the lads used to joke around when we had practice matches and there was a penalty, they knew I'd never want to take it in practice. And unfortunately, it kind of worked for me. I just view it as a one-off. Each one is a one-off. And that was my attitude that worked for me.
One of the most famous penalties you won was against Walsall in the FA Cup. Can you talk me through what happened there? Because it looked a little bit theatrical.
I won't lie. Like I said, I dribbling, going past players was something that I was a more attacking midfielder, as fans might remember. I wasn't a sort of defensive-minded hold-back. I was more of attacking people at fairly fast speed. That was probably one of my assets. And so, just like I said, I'd been brought down lots of times, and it was just like the dying minutes of the game. And as I joked recently, I just might have gone down a little easier. Like I joked on Twitter, I said, without fear of a retrospective three-match ban, I can say that I might have gone down a little easy. And I think I did. I feel but hey, that's the FA Cup. And obviously, it caused a great run and a piece of history for Hereford. Being part of history is what it's all about.
You played in that game against Manchester United, who we drew after Walsall. What do you remember from that game that Sunday? I think it was a Sunday.
Yeah, it wasn't. I remember before, because obviously, I don't think any of us really at the time had experienced such amazing, build-up and anticipation for the game. As soon as the draw was done, it was just that the city was just alive with, people, I had a lot of friends in Hereford. I lived in Hereford at the time, and people wanting tickets and doing what we were doing. But I remember the gaffer took us away, and Bowie took us down to Bournemouth, I think it was, for a couple of days. you know, it might sound melodramatic, but, you know, the tension was so high. We went down to Bournemouth, but it was just, I was just a phenomenal, it was a phenomenal experience. I mean, the crowd was magnificent, and I'm not kidding, you know, it was just a game we so could have won. And it always annoys me now when I hear that the game after Man United beat us, they played Forest, and you know that they won 2-1, and they always in the history books talk about that game, that if they'd have lost, Ferguson would have got the sack. And it always annoys me, because I think, well, the game before that, you're kidding me, the game before that, we so easily could have won, so easily could have won. And of course, Ferguson would never have happened, because, like, he would without a doubt got the sack from Man United. And I always feel like that. But like I said, I remember just, it was a corner, and it was in the days when the replays were a week away, the replays were the following Tuesday. And I'll never forget, we're attacking, we've got a corner, there's like a minute to go, and I remember thinking, oh my God, we're going to be at Old Trafford on Tuesday. The ball got cleared, went down, and they scored, and it was all over. But like I said, but you know, nothing but great memories of the game, for sure.
Moving on to the managers at Edgar Street, you're with Ian Bowyer, Colin Addison, and John Stiller. What were they all like?
They were all very different. I mean, definitely all different. Ian Bowyer, I mean, I often feel that Ian Bowyer seemed to have he seemed to do well with finding young players. And when I look at, you know, some of the players, you know, obviously he was responsible for outlaying the money for myself. He found Darren Peacock, you know, for nothing. Although I got to say this story that goes back. Darren Peacock, the first game Darren played, big lad, long hair at the time, and we're like, you know, who's this guy? And he comes on, I remember we're playing at Layer Road, Colchester, and his first kick was, as a centre-half, it was a free kick, and he goes to play it out to the wing, and he goes over the stadium and out the ground, and I remember the lads looking around going, who is this guy? And of course, Derek, top guy, goes on to be a legend and a Premier League player. But that was his first, I always remember that was his first kick. But no, there's Richard Jones, another player who I really believe would have gone on to bigger things. Richard Jones was a great player. So he managed to find a lot of talent, and I feel like a little bit bad what happened with obviously Gary Bowyer and the incident that meant he left. Colin Addison, energetic, experienced, obviously crazy experience, and again very popular within the town, and you know, I had probably one of my best seasons under Colin, you know, in terms of scoring goals. And then finally was obviously John Silly, who was I've heard some of the interviews you've done with the lads, you know, Derek Hall and so forth. He was just an amazing character, and you know, I never met, you know, he's just a one-off character, that's all I'll say. And a motivator, fantastic motivator, and you know, and again, I probably one of my high-scoring seasons under him too, but all very different, but you know, all great in their own way.
You currently live in Chicago. How did you end up over there?
Oh, see, one of those weird things. I was away with about 7-8 guys, mostly Scots, and they did this kind of annual trip out in the Caribbean on a cruise liner. One of my best buddies I went to school with in Birmingham had a travel company, and so we get us good deals. And we were out, like I said, out in the Caribbean on a cruise ship with all these Scottish rugby guys in the kilts. I'm an adopted jock. And I met a young lady, a mother of my children. She was away with her mother at the time, and just got on well. And then I flew up to Chicago, met her a couple of times, and within just over 12 months, I was over here, and three children, and 13 years later. In fact, I've just become a citizen just only 2 weeks ago. I decided to do that. I keep dual nationality. But yeah, so that's what, again, just like all my life, where you're playing, you know, you're in Hereford, next minute you go to another club and you move and you have different experiences. You know, life takes you to the part of the world. But it's no, I love it here. A great life, and like I said, my family's all here.